Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, October 16th, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is. We'll talk about it this week. You know, I threatened to do this 2 weeks ago now, but we will talk about this week. I'm going to get into, well, we're going to talk about Las Vegas, because two things that seem to be curiously absent from the mainstream media cycle are the Las Vegas incident, and if it really was the largest mass shooting in American history, then the mainstream media news cycle is strangely silent on this largest catastrophe, mass shooting, that is, in American history, just 2 weeks after the incident. Did it already evaporate from American consciousness? I don't think so. So we're going to talk about that. And a carry-on to that subject is H.R. 3999, which is a very strange bill number, if you know what I mean. And that's strangely absent from the mainstream media cycle. It is a, some people will call it a gun control bill. I call it confiscation and disarmament of the American people bill. But we'll talk about that. And why isn't the mainstream media talking about it at all? How did it garner bipartisan support, apparently? Wide scale, broad bipartisan support, without really any mainstream media coverage. That's interesting, don't you think? So we'll talk about that and much more today. I will get into, as I just kind of alluded to, the cartoonish nature of the Las Vegas incident. I talk about on this broadcast how we're being plunged into a sort of cartoonish reality. In politics, it's probably best illustrated by the movie Idiocracy. It really is an idiocracy. Or, you know, a Mike Judge sort of cartoon, a Beavis and Butthead kind of scenario. I'm really shocked, honestly, at the conversations that I have with people who should know better, and yet they believe everything the mainstream media is telling them about North Korea. These are people that know better, that have seen what has happened in the Middle East and other places, that understand, maybe they don't know what it's called by name, but they understand the concept of stovepiping, misleading intelligence being presented to the Oval Office and the White House to support a foreign policy agenda that is completely ill-advised. And yet these same people believe what the mainstream media tells them about North Korea, and it is so juvenile and idiotic, it's insulting to the intelligence of – I mean, as I said before, I'd say, you know, it's third-grade level propaganda, but that would be insulting third graders, so I wouldn't do that. But to think that Kim Jong-un is, you know, shaking his fist and saying, curse you, Donald Trump, I get you, you know, and then Donald Trump tweeting back. I mean, there's this – that's sort of the vacuous concept that is portrayed in the mainstream media. Kim Jong-un says, we're going to fire a missile at you. And Donald Trump says, you know, but as insulting to the intelligence as that is, two things. One, people seem to be buying it, which is very disconcerting to me. And two, the United States military seems to be bracing and even bristling for something in that region. There is evidence from military insiders that especially with regard to naval resources, there's some serious preparation going on in anticipation of something, unprecedented level of preparation. So I hope not. And I hope that the American people, especially the folks that should know better, will shake off the fog and see through the deception on North Korea as well as everything else. What makes people believe that a mainstream media that would lie about everything, that does no investigative journalism, that gets people fired? Investigative journalism, which at some level, at some point, is redundant, doesn't seem to matter to the mainstream press anymore. So what makes people believe everything that we get that sounds trustworthy and reliable seems to come from independent sources. Over in Syria, especially Syria, you have people like Vanessa Bealey I can't think of her name. You know, the one who confronted the BBC reporter. So you have folks like that. In France and places like that, you have guys like Garrett Coleman, and he's obviously, you know, France and Spain, I would say, but beyond, well beyond. Over here, we have independent journalists. I mentioned a few in conjunction with the Las Vegas incident last week, folks like Laura Loomer and Mike Tokes and Jake Morfonius and Jason Goodman in particular, always Aaron and Melissa Dykes, James Corbett, folks like that. There are a number of folks who are doing – I mean, look what Laura Loomer did last week. Apparently, it shook the establishment pretty strikingly, because after Laura Loomer asked her question of Las Vegas Metro of Sheriff Lombardo last week about the timeline, And Mike Toks asked a follow-up question because at the end of that exchange, when Sheriff Lombardo was saying, "We have a decorum, ma'am. I'm not going to answer your question, ma'am, ma'am, ma'am," to Laura Loomer. Finally, he said, "Ma'am, stop." He said, "Stop asking your question. Stop asking your question." And then from the other side of the room, Mike Toks asked a follow-up question. Well, that resulted in Sheriff Lombardo disclosing that, yes, there was a major discrepancy in their initial timeline, and that, yes, it was his understanding that Stephen Paddock was in Las Vegas from the 25th, not the 28th, as they had originally stated. But that was after Laura Loomer had broken the exclusive that she had receipts that proved that Stephen Paddock was there before the 28th, as they had initially stated in their official timeline. And so from that point forward, apparently the wagons were circled, and by Friday's press conference, the announcement was ill-conceived, perhaps. There was not enough time for indie journalists like the aforementioned to prepare on time. And these are folks that have been trying to raise money and grassroots support to stay in Las Vegas. They did that to stay in Las Vegas last week. And there are very few folks there on the ground doing that. And there are some very strange events as far as that's concerned. You know, why aren't we as Americans feverishly working to support independent journalists, folks that are willing to try to go out there and chase things down and make things happen? You know, another one is Liz Crokin, her work on the Seth Rich story that I think, from what it sounds like, got her dismissed from her burgeoning position at WorldNet Daily. I mentioned that back when the Seth Rich story was happening, and all of a sudden, you know, Liz Crokin had one big story, I think two, maybe three. And as I recall, she had written one or two more at least. And all of a sudden, she heard from her, I think, managing editor, "Okay, we're done. We don't." And she was providing stories on a contractual basis, so she wasn't a staff reporter, so to speak. But I just thought that was interesting, which folds right into that narrative that they're, you know, it's not a left-right discussion. WorldNet Daily leadership is, I mean, guys like Joseph Farah, RCNP, Council for National Policy. And so that's the other side, so to speak, of the George Soros world that is funding all of these movements and things, as we have seen from you know, the emails and things that have been hacked. So speaking of George Soros, we'll talk about him and his connections to Las Vegas, because remember, the earliest warnings of Las Vegas weren't that August 22nd or whenever it was dated around then, Crowds on Demand ad in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Craigslist. Remember that? There was the ad. Then there was a September 10, 11, I call it September 11, 4chan warning from Anonymous John. And was John Bielman the Anonymous John? Because John Bielman and his daughter met with an untimely demise, didn't they? And he obviously is a defense contractor connected guy. What CAD designer shoots his daughter and himself with a 12-gauge shotgun in his backyard? And what wife in said house doesn't hear that? And, you know, the neighbor heard it. Wife was in the house, didn't hear it. What person does that at 5:20 in the morning? Anyway, so was that Anonymous John from 4chan? That's been speculated. So there were those warnings, and then there was the warning the day of October 1st, obviously, the man and woman, according to Brianna Hendricks, who were going through the crowd saying you're all going to die, but you know, Breonna Hendricks didn't hear, she didn't actually hear what she actually heard. And she's been coached down from the ledge since then, it would seem. So there were those warnings, but the first warning, and there were some others, but the first warning seems to have been June 30th. Remember? We played the clip on Friday, I believe, of the trading activity that I think foreshadowed nefarious events, even at Mandalay Bay, perhaps, and kind of insider trading that Soros functionaries were involved in. So that's interesting. So anyway, we'll talk more about all of this week. And I, quite frankly, don't plan on letting go of this anytime soon. I think it's all very odd. We'll talk about some of the inconsistencies and irregularities. I threatened to put all of this together in a coherent, sort of cogent timeline and narrative. And I will, I think that's probably scheduled for tomorrow. We'll just kind of go through things sort of ad hoc today. Some of the latest, strangest developments. And so that's kind of where we're at. I think it's bizarre. We're talking about Harvey Weinstein. Okay, great. I think it's, you know, as I said before, it's interesting that, you know, everybody's on the issue of Hillary Clinton taking 5 days to say anything. It doesn't matter anyway because she is surrounded by, always has been surrounded by deviants, misogynists, pedophiles and sexual predators, while she calls out deviants, misogynists, pedophiles and sexual predators, which is ironic. You know, when you defend those kinds of people and then you openly disclose that you know they're guilty, but you just pat yourself on the back and about break your arm doing it, saying, you know, I knew he was guilty, but, you know, I got him off anyway. Wait, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, it's just disgusting. That's about as gross as she is. So it's interesting that mainstream press is talking about that, but that's old news. Hollywood has known for a long time. Everyone in that circle, I mean, 30 Rock, there you can find on YouTube clips from 30 Rock, for example, making fun of Harvey Weinstein because everybody knows that he, you know, has a penchant for deviancy. So what? He's one guy. It's an industry that doesn't deserve as much attention as we give it. So let's not do that. Meanwhile, something very strange is happening in Las Vegas. And legislation is secretly being proposed. We're you know, there's conversation somewhere because, as I said, H.R. 3999 has bipartisan support, apparently. And so there was conversation there happening somehow. H.R. 3999 to amend Title 18, United States Code, to prohibit the manufacture, possession, or transfer of any part or combination of parts. Manufacture, possession, or transfer of any part or combination of parts that is designed and functions to increase the rate of fire of a semi-automatic rifle, but does not convert the semi-automatic rifle into a machine gun and for other purposes. Okay, so what constitutes the generally accepted rate of fire? Increase the rate of fire. This is absurd. You know, disturbing stuff. Who decides what the generally accepted rate of fire is? Now, some folks are paying attention and understand the dangers here. I mean, it should be obvious to anyone paying attention what the dangers are, but there are some folks in particular one of my favorite videos, and we'll play this, I think, here in a minute. is from, what channel is that? I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I will, we'll have that here in a second. Anyway, very, very strange and disconcerting stuff. Let's see. I think it's in here. Yeah. Legally Armed America. That's a great little 6 minute and 23 second breakdown of HR 3999. We'll play that in the next segment here in a few minutes. But what is happening? It's pretty straightforward. You know, it's gun confiscation, creeping encroachment, and people, you know, it's the slippery slope. I mean, so the bigger issue, this is, I think, where my expertise starts to come in. You look at the third house versus the fourth branch, third house of Congress versus the fourth branch of government by James P. Hill. And that was published back in 1986. I think James P. Hill put it best, brilliantly, when he wrote in, and this was published in the John Marshall Law Review back in 1986. This is not some conspiracy theory blog. This is one of the most venerated law journals in the country. 1986, the third house of Congress versus the fourth branch of government, the impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision-making. I mention this all the time. And this is how the game is played. That what you hear in Congress, what you see on C-SPAN, it really is fairly inconsequential, because what once a bill is passed, what happens behind closed doors is what's really important. And it's all done by unelected officials, bureaucrats. Here's how it works. James P. Hill wrote it. Third House of Congress versus the fourth branch of government, the impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision making. James P. Hill wrote, this article presents a simple yet unsettling proposition. Regulatory decision making, among the most intrusive and pervasive aspects of federal activity, is largely the product of two politically unaccountable bureaucracies. Unelected congressional committee staff and unelected regulatory agency officials comprise these two politically unaccountable bureaucracies. Both of these bureaucracies have developed outside the constitutional framework. Modern regulatory decision-making, therefore, is not the result of formal directives or interactions between the regulators and their constitutionally elected masters. Instead, modern regulatory decision-making is the result of only informal negotiations between the unelected congressional committee staff members and the unelected regulatory agency officials. By largely ignoring the significant role that the congressional committee staff members play in influencing the process and product of regulatory decision making, reformers proposing formal changes in the rulemaking process risk overlooking the need for simultaneous exploration of informal reforms. You understand? It doesn't matter what reforms. I mean, you can say, let's throw out the, you know, 545 in Congress or whatever you want to say, and it doesn't matter. Nothing will happen, because this is where the action is, and it's been proven a variety of ways. One of the perhaps most significant and disturbing is Greg Walden's testimony. Remember that? We play that clip all the time. Oregon Congressman Greg Walden, who was talking about what was happening in Harney County during the Malheur Wildlife Refuge occupation stuff, the Misfortune Wildlife Refuge, because that's what Malheur translates to in English. Greg Walden was talking about a bill that he co-wrote and got passed that the BLM had essentially subverted. It had subverted the spirit of it. And he said in his testimony, you know, ordinarily you have to go back and try to establish what the spirit of the law was. And he said, in this case, we don't have to because I wrote it. It's my bill. And I'm here to tell you the BLM completely flipped the bill on its head. And it was intended to hold the BLM accountable. And instead it was turned around and used, essentially it was weaponized against the local people. And this is what happens. So, I mean, to hear Greg Walden say that, he sounds like a decent, upstanding guy when you hear him say, hey, we passed a law as soon as it went into the hands of regulators and congressional committee staff. This is what happened. And that's what happens. And these agencies are completely rogue. Or are they? I mean, they're really just kind of functioning the way you would expect when you give these bodies arbitrary power and no accountability and no there are no consequences. There's no accountability, no consequences. What does one expect? Think about a child that had that. Now think of a group of children, essentially. You know, you give them a box of matches and say, have fun, and then you're not going to watch them, and there are no consequences. If they burn stuff down, it's no big deal. And that's how it works. That's not an exaggeration. R.J. Pastrito's piece over at the Heritage Foundation, and I know it's the Heritage Foundation, but that's a good series and a good piece. His piece published 10 years ago, almost to the year now, well, to the day, November 20th, 2007, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government, is a brilliant piece. And remember, he points to Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, which was published in 1994. That was brilliant too. Published over at the Harvard Law Review, again, not a conspiracy theory periodical, but one of the most venerated law reviews in the country. The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State by Gary Lawson. And what did he write? These opening words, the post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional, and its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution. Unbelievable. What's the tie back to Las Vegas? We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, October 16th, 2017. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I'm beginning to think that maybe Reddit is your source for mainstream news. I mean, like real mainstream news, not that propaganda cycle that is pushed out, that cesspool of what they call information, the most trusted name in news, things like that. You know, maybe Reddit is the most reliable for source for news and information. But I digress. So what is the connection? I'm just going to try to go through some stuff today. And the phone lines, we'll just open up the phone lines. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. You are paying attention. I get emails and messages from people saying, hey, what about this? What about that? And by the way, I expect to have at least two or maybe three very fantastic guests on this week. I'm not going to say exactly who. I mentioned Jake Morfonius last week. I expect to have him on soon this week. And a couple of other people, at least maybe a few. So we'll see how that goes. That should be very exciting. But you're paying attention. There are a lot of strange questions that just more and more questions keep emerging from top to bottom in the Las Vegas situation. But what is the administrative connection? I mentioned that going out of the last segment. I said that's perhaps where I guess sort of my expertise might come in, because I have never heard anyone talk about that piece by James P. Hill, the third house versus the fourth branch, the third house of Congress versus the fourth branch of government, the impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision making. And 30 some years later, we have Greg Walden basically saying what James P. Hill wrote. He, you know, Greg Walden may as well have said, you know what? This is exactly what James P. Hill was writing about, and this is how it works. So why is it important? Well, today we have this push by folks calling themselves technocrats, self-styled, self-proclaimed experts, according to whom? I don't think they're experts. I'm, you know, to me it's insulting to hear someone that is that audacious and self-absorbed tell people how fantastic they are. And that's really what it is. It's a club. It's a big circle of these sociopathic, self-aggrandized, not experts, and I'll just leave it at that, pointing to each other saying, well, he's an expert, he's an expert, he's an expert, and the circle goes around and it starts over. What is the basis of their expertise? It's always very subjective. If it's rooted in science, it's never actual science. It's always pseudoscience. Real experts are usually humble. They're not so self-aggrandized that they try in Machiavellian fashion to find ways to pontificate to the public. And they're not cowards going out finding these legions of henchmen that won't challenge anything they say. That's what these people do. It's interesting to observe that, you know, I mentioned the fires in California, not to downplay anything. Any tragedy is a tragedy. But to that point, it's interesting that people are up in arms about what's happening in California. Oh my goodness, thousands of acres. Well, and lives have been lost, property has been lost. What about the 2 million plus acres that were burned just a month or two ago? What about that? Why was the mainstream media silent virtually on fires in a multitude of states? Washington, Idaho, Montana, the Dakotas, Wyoming, Colorado, Nevada, Oregon, California. That's 10, at least 10 states. Suddenly a couple thousand acres burns and, oh my goodness, it's a crisis. We got to do something. And I need to circle back around. What was the cause of all of those fires? Remember the documentary, Tesla, Master of What? Lightning, Master of Lightning? Was he really? Well, what happened to that technology? Has the weather been weaponized? Well, the United States military has disclosed, the Naval Weapons Warfare Division has released documents from FOIA requests that it was influencing Viet Cong troop movements using the weather, weaponizing weather. There are declassified military documents that say the military was experimenting on the American people in the 40s and the 50s. And then, you know, but we don't do that anymore. So we, you know, we dropped that. Really? Then why did Dennis Kucinich introduce H.R. 2977, the Space Preservation Act of 2001, that uses some very bizarre language? I was having a conversation over the weekend, and I believe it was the Reagan-Mondale debate. We were talking about this kind of subject, you know, the weather being weaponized. And I remember Ronald Reagan and Walter Mondale debating, and Reagan saying, you know, making that remark about the Star Wars defense system, weapons in space. And Mondale looks at him like, buddy, what have you been smoking? Seriously, what are you on? I mean, Mondale looks at him like he, you know, Reagan just showed up from another planet. Might as well have had two heads. What are you talking about? And that conversation just kind of magically vanished, didn't it? Memory hold. So anyway, back to the tie-in. What is the tie-in? Again, I've never heard anyone talk about the third house of Congress versus the fourth branch of government, the impact of a congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision making. But if you listen to this network, if you listen to Ralph Winterode, for example, and you hear him talk about these agencies have the ability, the extra constitutional ability, even if, as Andrew Jackson would say, the Constitution provides an insuperable objection to it. Apparently, they have the ability to, these administrative independent agencies have the ability to promulgate substantive rules of conduct presumed to have the force and effect of law. It sounds like a magic trick, because it is. And this happens in the cloak of darkness, right? And who's watching the Federal Register where these substantive rules of conduct are published? There's a comment period. If you don't comment, sorry, not our fault. It's your fault. We announced it. There has to be an announcement to the public. There has to be a comment period. Who has time to comment? Who has time to read anything? People are working 2-3 jobs, you know, husband and wife household working 2 jobs, 3 jobs. Who has time to even look at the Federal Register? So no one's talking about this. Congressman Greg Walden said this is what's happening. 30 years later, he gave firsthand account of what James P. Hill wrote about. So you hear folks like Ralph Winterode say this is what they're doing, promulgating substantive rules presumed to have the force and effect of law in the Federal Register. And these agencies are rogue, as I said. Gary Lawson, 1994, The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, published in the Harvard Law Review, he wrote, "The post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional, and its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution." Unbelievable. That's shocking language. And that's published in the Harvard Law Review. R.J. Pastrito, in his Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government, leaned heavily on the work of Gary Lawson in his piece, The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. And Pastrito opened with these words: "For those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard," that would be me, presumably you, that would be us, "for those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard," I mean, I would say higher than this technocratic nightmare that we find ourselves in today, "for those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard and who are concerned about the fate of its principles in our contemporary practice of government, the modern state ought to receive significant attention." Why? "The reason for this is that the ideas that gave rise to what is today called the administrative state," quote unquote, and remember, Congress formalized this thing called the administrative state. It's formally the fourth branch, according to Senator Pat McCarran, who was the Senate Judiciary Chair in 1946, when he said on the Senate floor that we have created a fourth branch. And he clarified a few times. So we have the, you know, by the Constitution, we have the executive, legislative, and judicial, and now the administrative branch. I didn't say it. Senator Pat McCarran said that on the Senate floor. And he also said that Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, is a bill of rights. And he wasn't using hyperbole, I don't believe. Read it. See for yourself. He said, it is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans, now millions upon millions, whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. And that's where we get closer to the tie-in. So Prostrito writes, the reason, the problem is that the ideas that gave rise to what is today called the administrative state are fundamentally at odds with those that gave rise to our Constitution. In fact, the original progressive era architects, which Hillary Clinton says she identifies with, and it's not surprising, the original progressive era architects of the administrative state understood this quite clearly as they made advocacy of this new approach to government an important part of their direct, open, comprehensive attack on the American Constitution. They used things like the trick of emergency. When we're in a state of emergency, things don't function the way they're supposed to. And I won't get into that, but you know, there's plenty of resources. Talk about the emergency, and we've had a state of emergency since the Reconstruction era. The Senate Committee to Abolish the National Emergency back in 1973 produced a report, Senate Report 93-549. If you're not familiar with this subject, go look that up and see that the president can, in a plethora of ways, as the report stated, suspend all kinds of things in liberty at his whim and discretion in a state of emergency. And incidentally, it was interesting, when I started talking about that more than 10 years ago, one of the biggest blemishes on American political history is the Bush administration pointing to the Senate Committee to Abolish the National Emergencies report, Senate Report 93-549, in its renewal of emergency powers. I think the first report was September 18th, a week after September 11, because, you know, magically they had already done so much work in a week. Anyway, I think I think it's called Emergency Powers. I forget what the CRS report is titled exactly, but I'm pretty sure its original date was September, or at least ostensibly to the public, the first date was September 18th, 2001. And it talked about what discretionary powers the president had and leaned on the research. So do you understand what I'm saying? The committee that said we need to abolish the national emergency, its research, and it recruited the Air Force. Because at the time, the Air Force was the only body that had the computing power to do the kind of research, and they found hundreds and hundreds of pieces of legislation and whittled it down to, I think, a couple hundred or something, that restrict liberty and basically hamper any kind of constitutional checks and balances, consolidate powers and functions. And then the Bush administration points to that work to abolish the national emergency as its justification largely for plenary discretionary powers. Unbelievable. So I won't give you the rest of R.J. Pastrillo's piece, the birth of the administrative state. But if you read it and you see where he's pointing to Gary Lawson and how these agencies have just complete impunity and discretion apparently to do whatever they will, then we come to Jefferson's words in the Kentucky resolutions in particular. You know, people will argue basically what we have in the administrative state is a complete subversion of constitutional checks and balances, separation of powers. Technocrats don't like checks and balances. Technocrats don't like separation of powers. They just want to be the deciders, as George Bush would say. And so are they really the kind of experts they say? One of the greatest statesmen who ever lived, one of the wisest and greatest statesmen who ever lived, Thomas Jefferson, said, "It would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights." That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is founded in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitution to bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. We'll get into some of the specifics on Las Vegas, but I just wanted to mention the administrative tieback, because here it is. So these agencies that we hear, I should probably read R.J. Pastrito's inclusion of Gary Lawson's excerpt, I suppose we'll call it. But Federal Trade Commission. So in Pastrito's piece, he writes, pointing to Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, Pastrito writes, the second tenet of separation of powers, the prohibition on combining functions, has fared no better in modern constitutional administrative law. As Lawson explains, quote, the destruction of this principle of separation of powers is perhaps the crowning jewel of the modern administrative revolution. Absolutely. It is the technocrats' grand dream. I'll get to more on that in a second. Administrative agencies routinely combine all three governmental functions in the same body and even in the same people within that body. Whether or not you agree with what happened at Malheur, at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, I think we can all agree that what Greg Walden testified to, the fact that he passed a law and the BLM completely subverted the spirit of the law in its execution of the law, essentially, or its fleshing out of the legislative piece, is not acceptable. Congressman Greg Walden is the co-author of a bill. He writes it. Clearly he knows what the spirit of the law is. They pass it in the BLM in secrecy, precisely in the fashion that James P. Hill wrote about in the Third House of Congress versus the Fourth Branch of Government, the impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision making, back in 1986. Greg Walden said, this is exactly what is happening. So what? As Gary Lawson describes in The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, as quoted by R.J. Pastrito, well, we'll save that for the top of the second hour, and then we'll move on to specifics in Las Vegas. Just some questions and observations, oddities, peculiarities. Stick around, second hour coming up right after the short break. We'll be right back.
Talk about something serious for a minute. Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.